11:55 Eastern Daylight Time, and Columbia and its affiliated stations bring you Elmer Davis and the news.
The French peace commissioners, a general, an admiral, an aviation general, and a diplomat, have met the Germans, and according to a United Press dispatch from Berlin, the armistice will probably be signed tomorrow in the forest of Compiègne, where the armistice of 1918 was concluded, and perhaps in the same railroad car that was used at that time. Hitler will be there in person. There is still no official information as to the terms, but the general belief is that this will be only a preliminary to a general peace to be concluded at the end of the war, and that meanwhile France will be totally disarmed and at least parts of the country occupied, with the Channel ports to be used as German bases for the attack on England. A hint as to the general nature of the settlement was given by the German radio in a broadcast picked up by our shortwave listening station an hour or two ago, which said that the voice of pity does not exist anymore in Europe. The Italians will apparently conclude a separate armistice, which will have to wait for the appointment of French commissioners and the fixing of a time and place of meeting by Mussolini. Thus, it seems that France may be at war with Italy for a day or two after fighting against the Germans stops. Our correspondent Cecil Brown reported from Rome earlier this evening that Mussolini wants his troops to be on French soil when hostilities end. And, of course, this would be more easily accomplished if the Germans had disarmed the French first. Meanwhile, it is far from certain that French forces outside the homeland will stop fighting, even if ordered to do so by Premier Pétain. Both in Rome and London, there are reports that some of the men in the French government want to continue the war from the colonies, and the considerable number of planes that have flown across to Algeria hardly went there to surrender. Reports from Cairo tonight say that the French fleet in the eastern Mediterranean and the French army in Syria will also go on fighting. In France today, the Germans kept up their drive against the weakening French armies, but still had to do hard fighting at various points. They captured Brest, the great naval base at the northwest tip of the country, thus virtually completing occupation of the Channel coast, and in the southeast they took Lyon, the third city of France. Part of the garrison of the Maginot Line is still fighting on, though surrounded, and a good many thousand French and Polish troops fighting in the corner near Switzerland were forced over the frontier and interned. The government's departure from Bordeaux, which was heavily bombed by German planes last night, started rumors that it was going over to Algeria. But so far as we know, it merely wanted to deprive the Germans of any reason for further bombings of a city overcrowded with refugees. It is believed that the new capital will be Biarritz on the Spanish border. Last night, the Germans again made extensive air raids over England, Scotland, and Wales and claimed to have damaged docks at Bristol and Southampton, munitions factories at Billingham, and oil tanks at Hull. The British say there was some damage to factories, but that it was not serious. There were about 70 casualties. The British raided widely in western Germany, hitting Hamburg and a number of cities in Westphalia and the Ruhr district, as well as Helgoland and the Frisian Islands. The Germans say that only non-military objectives were hit. It is reported from Romania tonight that Russian troops, which have been massed just over the Romanian frontier, have been reduced in numbers, and that the concentrations along the German-Russian frontier in Poland are increasing. In this country, the action of President Roosevelt in appointing Henry L. Stimson, who was Secretary of State under Hoover and Secretary of War under Taft, to head the War Department again, and Colonel Frank Knox, who was Republican vice presidential candidate in 1936 as Secretary of the Navy, stirred the Republicans who were assembling at Philadelphia for the convention to indignation which appears to be not unmixed with apprehension. Colonel Stimson, when he was Secretary of State, tried to stop the first aggression of the totalitarian powers in Manchuria, and Colonel Knox has advocated aid to the Allies. So John D. M. Hamilton, the Republican National Chairman, after practically saying that the two men could not be regarded as Republicans any longer, added that the appointments make the Democrats the war party. This was echoed in the Senate by the isolationist Democrats Wheeler and Clark, and Republican candidate Dewey called the appointments a direct step toward war. The President, however, in accepting the resignation of Secretary of War Woodring, said, I quote, "The preparedness program is defensive and is not aimed at intervention in world affairs which do not concern this hemisphere," end quote. Later, the President said that the appointments are in line with the overwhelming sentiment of the nation for national solidarity in a time of world crisis and in behalf of our national defense and nothing else.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.